welcome to Exiled Eagles. Much like Patrick Van Aanholt in the opposition's penalty area, we pop up unannounced whenever we want. My name is Rob Seltz, and joining me today is Marky Werner. How are you?
Hello, mate. How are you?
Good, thank you. Dale Quarty down south, how are you?
I'm good. How's everyone?
Very well, very well. And even further south, Ned Rock, who appears to have just got out of bed. How are you, Ned?
Sometimes it's, you know, it's a long day or a short day, and, you know, it takes a bit of time to get out of bed at 8:30 at night. I'm very well, thank you.
Student. Good, good, mate, good. Look, just to let you know, you did let the whole team down by not coming to the game last week, but we won't brush that aside. We'll remember that, and Jim.
That's okay. That's what I live for. I live to let the team down. That's pretty much. I thought that was the whole point of me coming on the pod to start with. To be honest,
so. you are very right. Well, you are very right. At least you've learned. Well, guys, we're gonna start the pod on quite a somber, serious note. Unfortunately, due to what happened this morning with the England Bulgaria game, as a pod here, we have Dale, who's got origins in Africa. Myself, I'm Jewish, so we are fairly multicultural, should we say. And what we saw today, the England game, was disgusting. No place anywhere for that in the world, let alone in sport. And it, very strangely for me personally, is that I have seen so much open blatant racism here in Australia, but none of it seems to go across onto sport, which is great. I think we will take the first couple of moments, get everyone's thoughts on what happened this morning, and obviously here in Australia, how it's been reported here in Australia, and if they've ever had any race seen anything like that generally over here. So they all want to throw back over to yourself as a minority yourself, like myself, like me. What are your thoughts, and kind of how are you feeling?
Oh, look, I brought this topic to the table. I've said before we started, I was disgusted by it. UEFA and FIFA, in my opinion, are weak. They have this three-step process where, you know, you stop a game, there's an announcement, then you stop it again and players are removed temporarily, and then the third time players are removed. Now, for me, if I was an England player or management, I would have said, do you know what, guys? We're off. Let's go. If you're UEFA or FIFA says you forfeit the match or whatever, we're going to qualify anyway. Who cares? Sooner or later, there has to be a message. And I think that, you know, the England players, respect to them. They did really well to play considering the circumstances. But to me personally, it's disappointing. And we flick it out of the international scene and we look closer to home. The club announced during this international break that they're going to be investigating alleged racism against Wilf, which happened obviously in the Premier League. And what just strikes me about that is it's just stupid. Whoever it was, I can guarantee their team had a black player playing in that team. So how can you be racist to Wilf? Because surely then you're just being out of order to your own black player. Yeah, but the difference is he wears your shirt. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And I get it. Football fans are passionate. They're tribal. And that's what part of it's about. But you don't lose your brain. You don't lose your ability to think. And if you want to bring racism into football, into any sport, well, I just think you're wrong. And I think we need to, as a society, and I appreciate maybe only 50 people might listen to this podcast, but if I can get 50 people to turn around and say, this is wrong and shouldn't happen, then to me, that's a success.
100%, and I'll just add to that people that do that probably don't have much between the old ears anyway, mate, so they don't think about it. I'll be interested to see, Mark and Ned, your thoughts on it. Obviously, both you guys are Australian, you support Palace from over here, so obviously you're not going to be directly affected by what happened, but kind of coming from an Australian point of view, I mean, what's your thoughts kind of as an outsider looking in? What do you think of it all?
Firstly, obviously, as Dale said, it's just got no place anywhere. You know, there's a simple solution, and it's everyone just stops being fucking idiots. But unfortunately, that's, you know, a tough thing to do. I think the one of the worst things I saw out of that after all that was that, I don't know if you saw the Bulgarian coach's post-match press conference, where he pretty much just went out and was like, no, didn't hear it, didn't happen, don't know what's happened, don't know what you're talking about. Which was just ridiculous. over here, I mean, as you've sort of said, Rob, there's obviously big issues with it in society, but I think when it comes to sport, we in Australia, probably the main ones I can think of both sort of through the AFL competition, and you're looking at stuff like Adam Goods, who's an Indigenous player over here, and so the racism that they give is not quite as blatant, so people try and, you know, go with that the casual racism so they can plead a bit of ignorance, which is bullshit, but I think that's the way that they, you know, you sort of, it manifests itself over here. It's still there. It's still, you know, while it mightn't be as overt as some of that stuff that you saw in the Bulgaria game, you're looking at, you know, an Indigenous player who gets booed every time because he happens to be a flogger or he stages for free kicks. I mean, that's the argument that has been used against him, and you sort of go, well, is he the biggest flog to have ever played in the history of the game? Does he stage for free kicks more than anyone in the history of the game? No. But the difference, but you know, he happens to get booed, and the only other ones that get booed, I mean, there's one similarity between them, and it's not the fact that they stage for free kicks. So it is an issue, you know, it's a global issue. It's a stupid issue because, I mean, you look at some of the players that get booed and you go, and as Dale said, you look at the players in those teams and you go, both teams have got players from all sorts of ethnicities, from all sorts of backgrounds. And I think the only other one that I'll refer to is the Lukaku getting booed on his debut in Italy, and the Italian ultras coming out saying, "No, it's not racist. It's not racist. It's we're just, you know, we're showing respect." And you're like, "I don't think so. You're just a bunch of fucking idiots." Nah. So, as I say, 100% agree with everything Dale said. It's just there's no spot for it, society, sport, anywhere. And anyone who tries to, you know, put their little spin on it to, you know, make it somehow more acceptable or a part of something is just wrong.
Well said, very well said. Mark, kind of the kind of last word on this, then we'll move on. But an important topic. What your thoughts? Because obviously we were speaking before the pod about Adam Goods that Ned very eloquently brought up, I think. So what's your final word on it?
In relation to it here, mate, or our view of it happening abroad?
A bit of both. Kind of be interested, kind of a little bit of both.
Yeah, sure. Well, for the stuff here, Ned touched on the Adam Goods thing, and we were chatting about it prior to the pod. That was a funny one. I think it just started off as booing a player, and then because he's Indigenous, it transcended into a racial vilification. And at that point, I think most people, if they were booing the player, got off the bandwagon, okay, well, that's not cool. If it's been deemed as racial abuse, then we won't. Couple of idiots carried on after that, and they kind of asked themselves and what intelligence they had by pursuing that. Other than that, that doesn't really happen here a lot, or doesn't make headlines a great deal. You get the odd supporter. I think there was a young girl, a Collingwood supporter, two seasons ago, got pulled up for making mugging chance or something like that, thrown out straight away, and it seemed to be tackled fairly swiftly and quickly here, which is good. Not great that it's happening, but for the racist tag that this country has as a whole, I'd say in the world of sport, it is fairly minimal, which is good. Not saying it doesn't exist, but it's not prevalent to make a bunch of headlines. In reference to what's happening over in Europe, you always hear the stories of, you know, Spain or Eastern Bloc countries and throwing bananas and stuff out on the pitch, which hear a bit of. But then Dar was into UEFA and so forth before, and I heard on another pod today they had a couple-step process now if that happens in a game. I wasn't aware of what any of that process is. Maybe it hasn't trickled down here. So it's obviously something that's not new, let's face it, and I don't think has really been strong-armed by the governing bodies too much over there. And needs readdressing. If it's still happening, needs addressing. And like Ned said, 2019, absolutely ridiculous that racism even exists. It's a poor indictment of our society and species as a whole. Not all, but some.
Can I just say one thing? If any of these people go to work and someone sat next to them and booed them every time they picked up a phone call or moved a forklift or, you know, whatever they did, I want to know how they would feel at work, someone doing that because of the colour of their skin or their ethnicity or their beliefs. So I think you just need to take that into consideration to these idiots when they're sitting there booing someone who's just trying to kick a bit of leather around, ultimately for fun. Well paid fun, but fun.
Very well said. I think that's a
rant over.
No, it's a good point. There was just something to be very worthy to be ranted on. And I think was very well said by everyone. So that's our stance on it here at the Exiled Eagles. You agree, you can agree, you can disagree. If you disagree, don't listen to us. We're not interested. But if you do, even if you do disagree, still give us that 5-star rating and then never listen to us again. Moving on. Right, let's talk about Palace, eh? Whey. I'm not sure what's more depressing. Nah, bollocks, we're sixth. Come on. Well, it's on that. Like, we're sixth. How the bloody hell are we sixth? So this is, I'm going to throw this out to Mark. You were last. You get first crack at this one. We're sixth. Does it feel like it?
Great, isn't it? For me, no, it doesn't feel like it. In my gut, we're a safe and steady mid-table. In saying that, I mean, we're only 3 points off 10th, 7 off relegation, and only 3 off being second. So it's good at the moment. I love looking at the table and seeing us up there. It was even better a couple weeks ago when we jagged fourth. That was a proper laugh for a week or two.
Oh.
But yeah, I'm not vibing that we're six, and let's face it, once we actually get a quarter of a way through the season in another 3 hours of football, that might change. But mate, loving the vibe, and yeah, it's how should I say it? Feel confident of us of doing some good things this season, and it's funny. I'm loving all the charts and stats coming out, like, you know, since the 2nd of February, we'd be third in the league and, you know, least goals conceded at home this season, this and that. And it's all great stuff. It's far better reading than no team's ever gone 7 games without winning on the bounce and not got relegated, or in 130 years of football, no one's talking about scoring.
That's how usual.
So, yeah, pleasant change to that sort of gear, mate.
So it is. Now, Ned, have your flights to some ridiculous Eastern European country still booked for June for the European tour?
I'm very disappointed, to be honest. I mean, I believe our last pod we were fourth. We were talking about Champions League, so I'm pretty disappointed.
Yes, we have regressed.
I'm pretty disappointed we've dropped to sixth. I have had to cancel my flights to Munich and just pick up some through to Astana or somewhere instead, which is a bit disappointing. I mean, I guess I'll take it at the end of the season if I have to. I think, yeah, the flip side is to answer your original question that you asked, Mark, does it feel like we're sixth? No. I'll, you know, be the negative voice here and sort of say we have, I even being sixth, I think for a team that's sixth, I don't think we've played particularly well a lot of the time. We've beaten some teams that, you know, we're probably a little bit lucky too. We've been beaten by some pretty average sides, like Tottenham. So I mean, I think you look at games like that Tottenham game, you look at games like Sheffield United, and you go, how the fuck are we sixth? Because those games were just awful. And then you even look at sort of games like, you know, like West Ham, and you go, okay, yeah, we were all right in patches. You look at games at Norwich, you go, we were all right in patches, and you go, well, there's 6 points come out of them. Villa again, another one. And you sort of you look at some of those results that we're getting, and you go, okay. I mean, I guess I'd rather, you know, play badly and pick up 3 points than, you know, play well and pick up none. But I think the next 5 games will be interesting. Let's put it that way.
We'll discuss that later. Don't you get ahead of yourself, young man.
I won't.
What are your thoughts, Dale?
Table don't lie. Mic drop.
Yeah, man.
Sure. Look, guess the guy that has to go and have dinner soon.
No, look, we're functional. That's all we are. We're functional. We're a functional team. We are only... I don't know what to say. it's not the best viewing. It's not the worst viewing. We're sixth in the league. Done.
Well, I can't really argue with that, to be honest. Like, does it feel like... No, that's the thing. The weird thing is, like, it doesn't feel like we're sixth, because normally if you're sixth, a team like Palace, it means you've played some rip-roaring football and just blown teams off the park somehow. But I think never has a phrase, shithousing your waist to 3 points, been so apt for us at the start of the season. Like, I'm not excited by any of it. I'm bored off my tits, but we're winning, so I've got to be happy with it. But that we're last year, we're playing some amazing football, but just coming up short. And I'm like, oh, you know, I wish... I mean, this is definitely the case, and I probably say this every single pod about myself as well, like, is be careful what you wish for. And I get it. I know I get it. But, you know, it's just... I have absolutely no idea how we sit.
But, Celts, I will say to you, there has been times in this run where we have played some absolutely ridiculously good football. We have passed it across the back. It has gone into midfield. It is, honestly, it is... I've heart in mouth stuff because it's Palace. But... wow, it is actually. I've been impressed sometimes.
It's been good.
I really have.
We're not talking about the CPFC Sydney game yet, Dale. We'll talk about that later.
Oh god,
get your powder dry.
That's it. The Rolls Royce of the player that is Robert Seltzer. We'll talk about him later. Just class.
Please.
All I heard was you missed a sitter.
How dare you, no, mate? You should have seen me just strolling about the park. Immense. But enough about me. Enough about me. We'll come back to me later. Trust me, you will. I'm the host, so I can do what I want. lead me
Bring
on to...
back Tony.
Boo. Boo. Tony, we love you, but boo. It's all about me now. This is a new wave. Kind of leading on from the previous point there. Now, this is, again, be careful what you wish for, bloody, bloody, blah, but I know he's getting amazing things out of this squad of players, and this is talk about Roy Hodgson here, but do we have players in that squad that he's underutilising to potentially push it on a little bit, do you think, or is he doing an incredible job with what he's got and there's nothing else he can get out of this squad? Dale.
Oh, he's put Andros Townsend on the bench, who many people will tell you was a certain starter for Crystal Palace. And let's be honest, we haven't missed him. All right? We haven't. Last game, we had no Luca. And the Jimmy Max were magnificent. So I'm starting to come around to the fact... So actually, before I go on, we've got no Tompkins. We had no Sacco. Aaron Wan-Bissaka has been sold. We only have one left back. I'm starting to think that Roy Hodgson is an absolute miracle worker. Because, you know, if you said to a Palace fan pre-season, we won't have Tompkins and Sacco as our centre defenders, you'd have gone, yeah, no, that's it, we're in trouble. We won't have Andros playing on the right-hand side, no, we're in trouble. Luca's not around for a game, and we're going to get a penalty. Who's going to take it? Well, I'll tell you what, Patrick Van Aanholt, I've said a lot of things about you. That is one of the best penalties I've seen from someone who's not your regular penalty taker. I think Roy's actually... I'm a defender of Roy to an extent, and I think he's doing it again.
All right, go on, you Antipodean duo. What do you think?
you want to jump in there?
Mate, go for it, Mark. Go for it, mate.
I've always been an advocate of Roy Hodgson and his miracle working, and if we starved him of enough cash and pissed him about enough at transfer time, that he may well take us to Europe. So I think a bit of that's coming to fruition, but I think, didn't really think about it until Dale touched on all of that in a couple of sentences. Yeah, some gaping holes that needed filling and have seemingly been filled seamlessly, really. It's all sort of gone on behind the scenes, and the boys are just getting the job done. Defence still pretty solid, and yeah, I was having kittens when we were Tompkins and Sacco-less. Kale's come in, gone gangbusters, and it's certainly not luck. There's a lot of, I won't say cracks papered over, but yeah, a lot of glaring areas that could have been our undoing, and kind of become a strength in a way. So, I'm still not 100% in agreement with some of his sub choices and timings and players.
What
that he's
subs? Jesus.
On the bench, you know, the ones for the last 10 minutes, all three of them. A lot of people say, well, you know, don't fix a winning team or any of that sort of thing. I don't buy into that. I'm very much across lots of sports a horses for courses type guy. Whether I don't think he even knows, you know, what cattle is best in given situations just yet. But his tinkering to this point is, it's got us in six, hasn't it?
True. Go on in there.
I'm going to play devil's advocate to Dale, but agree with his final point completely. So I think in terms of the job that that Roy's done, I mean, you've got to go full credit to him. I think in terms of the players that Dale's talking about, I think you're taking Sacco and Tompkins out, you go, oh, that's no good. But you say you're bringing Gary Cahill in, that's a bit different. I mean, all of that football that we're playing around the back, I mean, it's terrifying now watching it with Gary Cahill, who's the most composed footballer on a pitch, going, I'm absolutely shitting myself at the prospect of Mamadou Sakho getting involved in any of that, because his passing, when he has the ball in general, just scares the life out of me. He's not exactly calmness personified. So I think you're looking at that and say, going, okay, so that's sort of been, you know, covered in there. You say we haven't missed Andros, not necessarily, but he's come on and sort of either scored or set up the winner or the sealer in the last couple of games. Luca, for me, this season's been really poor. So the fact that he went out, I mean, maybe he just needed a rest. But in terms of actually missing him, I think looking at his performances this season, I'm going, well, it's not the end of the world. But I think despite having come up with pretty much all the exact opposite arguments today, I think I'm going to come up with the exact same conclusion of Roy Hodgson's a genius. And whatever he's doing, keep it coming. Sixth is great. Let's just win the next five in a row and win the league.
Mate, I can't disagree with any of that. I mean, it's just, again, it goes back to the thing that doesn't feel like we're sixth. It's kind of that weird, weird feeling I've got. Like, the things that drive me mad. Things that drive me mad, Jeffrey Schlupp consistently playing 90 minutes every single week. Puts him in central midfield, stop doing it. End of story. That pisses me off. I'll move on. All right, I'll move on.
I'll agree with that.
I could stay on that for a while, but I will move myself on for the sake of all 50 people that are going to listen to this podcast. The second thing is, and it's clearly come down from where it's a tactic, is the lack of midfielders we have breaking into the box. There are so many times when we have either a Jordan Ayew and no one else, or we've also got the boy wide, or if Jordan Ayew's gone wide. I've watched every game this season, and there have been at least four occasions when we haven't been able to put the ball in the box because there's no one bloody in there. And I guarantee you that's not because they don't want to go there. It's because we're very worried about shape, and I understand that. And I know it's proven, and yes, we're sixth. Go on, Robert. You know, be careful what you wish for. Bloody, bloody, blah. But it's just occasionally take the punt. We could have, Villa, we got lucky because a goal was disallowed. Wolves, it wasn't. You know, Norwich, we only scored the winner in the 94th minute. If we had taken the punt earlier, we could have been 3-4 up against Norwich comfortably. We could have been 2-3 up against Wolves comfortably. Yes, I know Benteke and Schlupp missed the chances, but Schlupp was in the 91st minute anyway, or something stupid. We could have been well ahead in those games because we're not taking the punt. We go 1-0 up against Norwich. We're controlling it for 20 minutes. The next 20 was all Norwich because we just went back into our shell.
So what are you saying? The guy is a...
genius, obviously. Come on, moving on.
I mean, let's be fair here, Rob. You said that, you know, you're bored watching Palace. I mean, if we go out and score five goals, I mean, there's no contest, is there? We've sealed the contest in the last 2 minutes every week. Keeps you on the edge of your seat, mate. He's doing it for you. If you hadn't whinged so much, then he'd be sitting there just going out and battering sides.
He's a genius. Move on. I'm an idiot. All right. Next point. We have five games coming up that, let's say, aren't the nicest. So this is going to be a two-parter. What points total would you want to get from it? And don't say 15 points, you idiots. What points total do you want to get from it? What points total would you be happy with? Ned, you haven't gone first yet, so you can go first this one.
So I can't say 15. I don't think 14 is mathematically possible. So if I go 13, is that all right?
There's always one. There is always one.
It's always me, let's be fair. But I mean, City, we can beat them at their ground, and they're in poor form at the moment anyway, so that's an easy one. Liverpool, well, we end streaks, and they're on one, so we'll end that. Leicester will probably batter us 5-0 because we always beat them, and they've lost Harry Maguire, so they'll, so now we actually have to play against, you know, their defence. Who else have we got? Arsenal, they're rubbish.
Yep.
So that's an easy win. So I don't see why I can't go with 15 points, to be honest. I'll take 5. I'll take 5. Be delighted with it.
Move on.
Why did I bother? Why did I bother with starting with him? I knew as soon as I said it, I was like, he's going to say 15.
And I said 13. Oh, right. That's fair. 5.
13.
5.
13. So Ned
5. I'll be happy with 5.
Taking your first answer of 13 with right. Penis.
I'll be very happy with all 13 right. Too.
Go on there, Mark. How many would you want, and how many do you think you realistically get?
Oh, well, one. Obviously 15, but you're breathing fire about that answer, so I'll dial it back to 13 then. How many do I realistically think we'll get? I think we can realistically get 5, and that could come a couple of different ways. I'd settle for five draws, rather. Dow or not, getting the points and not losing against those teams would be build a lot of confidence and momentum. I suspect we'll beat Leicester and probably draw Chelsea and Arsenal.
He always put his balls to the wall. There you go.
Yeah.
Balls to the wall. I wasn't going to do it. Go on.
I'm just going to say, and I think that's where the points are going to come from. And just happy for us to keep our defensive unit cranking as we have. And yeah, exactly, mate. Just batting down the hatches for City. They're going to be nice and pissed off after losing last. Arsenal are not going too bad this season. Leicester, well, who knows, have been the bearer of many a point the last couple of seasons. So could well bottle that. You know, we might even just be 0-4 and then host Liverpool and do a number. Chris Danball too.
Mm.
3 points.
All right, Dale. So that's the two idiot Aussies talking rubbish. let's English people talk. Come on.
Say 15, Dale. Do it.
I would take 5.
Mm.
And I reckon we'll end up with 6.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm not going to make a bold prediction as to how that 6 or 5 will come about. I will just take it. And the other thing is, I don't care if we lose a couple of games or we lose 3 games out of the 5. It's how you lose that's important. Yep. So if we lose to City, and 2 things will happen if we lose to City. Either they'll blow us apart and they'll win 6-0, which is fine because you know what? You just write it off and say, it's Man City, we lost 6-0, it's done. Or we play our compact football and they beat us 2-0 with a goal late and we go, all right, we were in that. Oh, well, we go again. So I don't care. I just want us to not get embarrassed ourselves, keep confidence and be ready to go again in the following game.
Yeah, and I'm going to echo what everyone else has said with the numbers. I reckon 5 or 6, and that's why I'll be happy with 5 or 6. I think that's realistic. There's a win in there somewhere. There's definitely a win in there somewhere. I'm not gonna say who against, because if it doesn't happen, then everyone's gonna like, that's your fault. So Mark, everyone's gonna come at you for that's your fault. And if we lose the games that you said we're not gonna lose, but yeah, I think there's a win in there somewhere. There might even be 2 wins and a draw. Or I mean, I think that's dream world 7 is dream. But yeah, five or six is realistic. And if we come out with 5 or 6, then you know we're still gonna be. In my view, we'll be 8th or 9th, in between somewhere around there anyway, with your Brightons and your Burnleys and your Bournemouths all still to come, and Southamptons. So come out this period with 5 or 6, I think we can, you know, we can look forward to the Christmas period. So yeah, it's gonna be a bit of fun watching us not touch the ball for hours upon end for the next 5 weeks. They just have Roy Hodgson likes it. Stop it, stop it. Move on, move on. All right. So that's we had a lot of Palace chats. We're going to move quickly on to your Dale's in trouble with the wife. Hey, hey.
Yeah.
Again.
So
tough, please.
We'll try and wrap this. We've got a couple things to do. Dave, you've got to shoot. No worries.
Gents, it's been a pleasure. I'll speak to you all soon. Goodbye, fans.
Adios, Dale.
See you. Thanks, Dale. Au revoir. So Dale's got to run for everyone that his wife just got home and just cooked him dinner. So he has to go do that. So Mark, this is probably me and you talk about this a bit for now, because last weekend, the mighty CPFC Sydney team took on Watford FC down in Seymour Shore the money went to some charity. No one actually knows. So it's probably gone in someone's back pocket, Jimmy Fletcher's back pocket probably, but he claims it's going to charity. So we had a game down there. It was great day. I was quite spectacular. I was the Mamadou Sakho at the back. Then they pushed me into the centre midfield, and I was just sublime in there too. Obviously I should have scored when I took it around the keeper, but that hill just kept the ball running there, and the wind took it away from me. And, you know, the keeper fouled me at the same time, and someone shouted my name in the stand, and all went off at the same time. But, yeah, a fantastic 5-1 win for the mighty Palace, so we're unbeaten for quite some time now. Great day with me, Mark. Great to see you coming down from Brisbane. Ned, you're a disappointment for not bothering to come up.
Of course I'm a disappointment.
But yeah, great.
Why do you think I'm here?
true. So
Ned's defence, still checking airline availability at 4 a.m. morning of match day, mate, is that right?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, my recollection of 4 a.m. match day is fuzzy. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but Mark, what do you think of the day? What do you think of seeing the guys in action and then being in a dugout?
Tell him he was rubbish. Tell him he was rubbish, Mark.
Mate,
that's a lie. He'd be lying. You can't lie on this.
That's fine. You can. Of course you can. I just said we get 15 points. Sorry.
Once you ladies are done, I'll recall the events that Rob's after me. What a cracking day. And, mate, I apologise up front. I'll never yell out your name again from the stands like that when you're just, you know, cut the yards out and all you're going to do is get rid of
it. No, it wasn't that. It was the problem that I thought you were taking your top off, but you're actually taking your shorts off, and that's what threw me.
I always confuse the two and always end up in a lot of trouble. it was a good day. It was a touching day for me personally. It was 40 years to the day that the Matildas, the Australian women's football team, played their first competitive game at that very ground 40 years prior. So that was a bit of a buzz that I found out I was already on the way, but it was nice to find out on the way and then catch up with the lads, obviously, yourself and Dale, Ned, missing in action, promised the world, didn't turn up.
More of that stuff.
and I just missed the post goal dive onto the flag on the hill, mainly from Ned. But the boys flew the flag and did the colours proud, 5-1 at the end. I missed the first bit, so it was 1-1 when I first got there. So it was being hotly contested. And then, as you say, 1-1 Seltzer got into the midfield and just started marshalling the troops and was all downhill for poor old Watford supporters after that.
Well, that's what I do.
Good day, good ground, good cause. Apparently the J. Fletcher Foundation is a charity. Couple of jars with yourself afterwards, Rob, which is very nice to take it at the aptly named Palace Hotel with Jimmy and Shawnee. So, yeah, just always nice to get around you blokes and have a beer and a laugh and... see the Palace colours in action, mate. So good day, great day, loved it.
Awesome, and then that obviously that's one standard of football, and a standard of football that's slightly less than you would have seen. Then the A League is back,
correct.
I'll kind of throw it over to you guys now because obviously we do have to bring some Aussie stuff to this. So how's the first week gone for you guys? I mean, having watched me play, do you think I'll be one of the better players in the league when I sign for the Western Sydney Wanderers next week? Kind of, how's the season started for you boys?
Go on, Ed.
I would say that last I saw of you in an A-League game, Rob, wasn't Central Coast your team? It's probably a bit more your standard, I would have thought.
They are the local team. As I told Mark that the best part of that game was the guy on crutches that managed to get onto the pitch and stand in the goal mouth. How that happened, I'll never know. But he's in the goal mouth for a good 5 minutes, and he was on crutches, so it wasn't as if he was running away from Stewart. He was just stood there. Amazing.
Yeah, and then started to beat the shit out of the security guard with his crutches.
When all you have for security is some oversized inflated sauce bottle drop, that's what is going to happen.
So true.
I just don't know how you can deal with that bloody marching band that runs around the Gosford spot and the Game of Thrones theme that it plays after each goal and the cannons that shoot. We're really selling the Australian Football League very well here. But onto the actual competition. So we the big talking point over here this week is exactly the same as big talking points over in the Premier League, not the football, is the fact that we've spent all of the money on the old offside Hawkeye VAR stuff, which just keeps disallowing goals or allowing goals left, right and centre, because the standard of the officiating over here is considerably worse, which means that they get more opportunities, the VAR, to showcase its worth. I thought the first game of the weekend, Sydney-Adelaide, was fantastic. 3-2, all the VAR goals, red cards, you name it, the works. A lovely bit of suicidal football from Adelaide, who decided that defending was very much overrated. You should try watching it, Rob. You'd love it, given that your hatred for Roy's defensive stuff. They don't defend at all, ever. So, look, it's good fun. I mean, look, I have a very soft spot for the league. Yes, the standard is pretty average, but it's live football. It's the best we've got over here. And look, it's always good to head down into a football stand with a bunch of mates, have a couple of beers, and watch a game, regardless of the standard. So I'm glad it's back, even if you're not. And I feel like Mark's just happy to watch all sports, really.
Give motor racing a miss, but apart from that, yes.
Rubbish atmosphere at motor racing anyway.
I'll chime in with my little ugly wrap, given we've started the season proper. Weekend just gone. I, for one, loud VAR and all of its wares. couldn't be happier. Down 1-0, fifth minute out of a signalled 4 minutes injury time. A sublime ball played through, headed Roy O'Donovan. Thank you, Rob, one of your ex-players. Back to him, goal, 95th minute, 1-1, happy days. Playing away to Perth, to the premiers of last season, obviously with Robbie Fowler in charge, his first game proper.
Can I just jump in there, Mark, sorry, and just say the A-League is the only league in the world where you can describe ex-Perth Glory player Robbie Fowler. It's fantastic. All the media reports are ex-Perth Glory player Robbie Fowler. It's fantastic. Don't think he's done anything else.
Yeah, I should have, and they should have used, obviously, the more famous club that he played for, which was North Queensland Furies, of course. Yeah. Obviously. So, mate, pretty keen to let Robbie loosen at the helm, and there looks to be a good, the boys are like, they're just getting on with things. 9 debutants in our first game. So to play away to the premiers and nick something out the game, albeit through VAR, which I think was fair. It was a fair and just call. Good call.
I should add, with all that VAR stuff, it's all been correct. I mean, credit to them. All the decisions they've made have been correct, including the one that robbed my team victory of a goal and a magnificent goal celebration, I must add. About 14 flips and all sorts, but no goals.
I felt so sorry for that guy. I saw the first replay. I went, oh, they're going to take it off him here.
He's off by a
mile. And after all the acrobats. So, mate, Oleg's up and running. We're away, donning the orange every other week here at Suncorp Stadium. And just change your kit and the shape of the ball and we go again.
I've got to take issue with one thing you said, Ned. You said it was the highest standard of football available in Australia. Last week, I don't think you heard me correctly, but last week, Crystal Palace FC Sydney took on Watford. That is of a much higher standard. Slightly different fitness levels, I'll give you that. There was rolling subs, of which there were only two. No, we had three. So, but the standard of football was a lot higher.
Secondly, Rob, there's missed open goals in both in both leagues, mate.
Mate, I took it around the keeper.
Sounds like an open goal to me.
It was.
Did it go
then
in?
I realised I'm not as good. No, look, I'm telling you what happened. Took it around the keeper, then I realised I'm not coordinated or good enough to use my left foot that quickly when I took it around the keeper with my right foot, and the ball just trickled off. I was like, well, I tried. Move on with life. this is an apology. I just realised that where the my camera's aiming at was at the top of my head, so I've looked like an egg for quite some time. I think you've been looking at like an egg there, so apologies for that, but it's probably better than what you've seen anyway. All right, so like, now I'm going to ask a question. Do we have anything for the new segment, or didn't anyone do any research, or we stuffed?
Yeah, I cobbled something together, which is what I think the new segment is.
Good start.
I was... All we need now is some sort of intro music.
I'll find something and put it in. It's great.
To Ned. I don't know. I've got it here. I'm happy to trundle it out.
Mate, go for it.
I didn't know if we wanted a full complement to play along.
Dale's got to have dinner, so let Dale have dinner and we can play the game. He's lost.
We'll rip through. So I think, and Ned, this is your baby, so I think desired protocol of the game is I pick someone or something with a Palace affiliation that is also relatable to sort of the greater Australasia Pacific Rim. Is that right?
Sure, sounds great. Let's roll with that.
Okay, all right. So I have I've gone with a player. So after a player, and I've got a series of clues here. So just buzz in with your name if you think you have it. Which I'm sure you'll get before we get to the end, but we'll kick it off. So this player in question started his career at Saltdene United. Ooh. A lot of vacant stares going on at the other end of the camera here by looks or my screen. Saltdene United, no takers?
Funnily enough, no.
I think it's how it's pronounced, one word, Saltdean, Saltdene United.
S-A-L.
Couldn't tell you. Where they are?
I'll be honest, you've not given it away just yet, Mark.
All right, boss.
You know, we haven't got off to the first clue.
We're away. We're out of the blocks at least. I scored 9 goals whilst playing for Crystal Palace.
9 goals from Saltdene United.
9 goals. And a Saltdene alumni.
I'm going to need more than that, given I've never actually heard of Saltdene United.
Right. Rob, good Kagan. All right. I was born in Brighton.
Sounds like a terrible person.
Born in Brighton, which is something I only found out when researching my clues, my devilish clues.
I could hazard a few guesses, but I won't just yet. I want to hear what the Australian clues are first.
All right. Well, they're at the midway to back end, but yeah. Rob, nothing still on 9 goals. Brighton, Saltdene.
So I mean, it sounds Irish, right? That's what I'd go for. So I'd say Michael Hughes.
Can I have a punt? Just give us a name.
I'll go with Michael Hughes.
No, incorrect. All right. So after being born in Brighton, my middle name is Everton.
Everton.
It's his middle name.
It's a rubbish middle name.
Some Wikipedia, you can have a look.
Sandor Everton Dalkelly doesn't sound right, does it?
Born in Brighton, middle name Everton.
Nah,
still going. All right, I started my professional career in 1997.
All right.
And still playing.
Still playing, so we're going 22 years. So he's an older.
So it'll be some old bloke who's washing himself up in the A-League at the moment.
It'll be a little bit older than me, I reckon. I'm 34.
Got any names, boys, you just want to throw out there?
Nah, not yet.
Salt, where the fuck is Saltdene?
No idea.
I've got no idea either, mate. I couldn't tell you where it is. I've no idea. Didn't go that hard in the research to find out.
I've gone into full egg mode again, kind of thinking.
You haven't got the thinking egg on.
That's it.
Started 97, still playing. Here we go, Ned. Here's one for you, mate, what you've been after. I played 106 A-League games.
106?
Poor idea. 106 A-League games.
Who said that?
Me, Rob, Paul, Egg, Paul Ifill.
Egg, Rob, we have a winner.
There you
ding,
go.
Ding, 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 ding,
that
ding.
Was good.
I was thinking, I was thinking Paul Ifill way earlier and then just didn't want to go with it because...
When were you thinking Paul Ifill from, though?
Well, I just basically...
Salt Dean?
Yeah, well, effectively, Palace play. I was thinking Palace players that had played in the league that were ex-Palace. So it was between him and Carl Viet were the two main ones that I was thinking.
But I was going to do... When this came to mind, I was going to do Carl Viet, but I didn't have how the hell I could do that.
Yeah.
Without giving it away first.
Paul Ifill, where the hell is Paul Ifill still playing? Like, it'd be... Some New Zealand team.
He's playing for lower Hawke's Bay.
Oh yeah, of course.
Oh yeah, New Zealand. Yeah.
No, that well known side.
I believe the following close from Angel. That was former.
Yeah. So anyway, well done,
striker.
That's one apiece, Rob. You and I. One pop, mate.
And we'll put in Wendy segment there, and I'll take the win. Thank you very much.
That's it, mate. That's it. So all day long. That's my contribution to the.
All right, well,
I mentioned game that has no title but spawned from there.
I'm sure we'll come up with one.
It'll continue to be nameless.
All I can say is I think
we
forced Rob to go next so that he has to actually watch some form of Australian football between now and the next pod, so he's got some sort of inside knowledge.
I've already actually got an idea of who it could be, and it's not going to be Culvert, so don't guess first off Culvert.
Is it Culvert?
Is it? Is it Calvert? Yes.
I just said, Calvert. Is it Calvert? Yeah.
I started playing. Mark, Calvert.
Yeah. That
if, at least if we leave this game nameless, it'll make it a whole lot easier to chop later in the season. Don't give it a name. That's what they always say. Don't give it a name.
That's it. And everyone that subscribes to us will be like, where's that game gone?
You know. It's a fucking game they used to play. It was awesome. I loved it. It was near the end.
That's it.
It's a bit where they turned off.
Guys, very good, very good.
Another cracker. Well done. Good stuff, guys. Like, always a pleasure to talk to you, Dale. Before you left, was great to hear from you and on everything going on in the current climate as well. Marky Mark, great to see you last week. And as you said, share a couple of scoops with you. And glad you got home by this time. Today, I think that's what you. I think you've only just landed, actually. Good old Jetstar.
Just drove Ned, in on his cab.
We'll arrange a game and we'll tell you about it. And we look forward to you not turning up again. So
fantastic. Well, I assume I'll see you at the meetup in Perth. Will I, Rob?
Mate, I've married.
Okay, yeah. As you were, mate. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's a good point. You make a good point, and I'll take that one on the chin. But I just want to put it out there to anyone who might not know: it is more expensive to fly to Perth than it is to New Zealand. So. Just throwing that out there. Yeah. And it takes longer to fly to Perth.
Two of the people the still left on the pod that aren't having dinner are there.
That's true. I mean, how many kids do you, between the two of you, how many kids you got?
None that I know of.
Exactly. All right, you Palace buggers, we will reconvene at a time unknown, in a place unknown, in the future unknown, as we always do. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Before we go... Yeah. Rob, can we plug Perth meetup?
Sure, mate? Sorry, very, very good, very good point, Mark. Apologies, I'm trying to wrap it up, and just because I'm not going, I'm jealous. what are the dates? What are the dates you boys are heading over there?
It is the weekend of 22nd, 23rd, 24th of November. 22nd being the Friday. This year's national meetup is being held over in the West in Perth for the first time. Which will be exciting. We had Colin and the boys up here in Brisbane last year for the meetup. It was vetoed that it would be in Perth this year. Looking forward to it. I've only been to Perth once. It was 18 years ago. It's about a six-hour flight in a straight line from Brisbane. So, quite a way to go for a jar or two. But, always a good weekend. Everyone welcome, obviously.
$2.99 pints, though.
That's impressive.
Ah, yes.
Been promised $2.99 pints by Colin as well.
$2.99 pints. So that's $2.99 Australian. So it's like 85p or something. So looking forward to that. So anyone's listening and sitting on the fence about going to Perth for the meetup this year. Go. It's a heap of fun. We've got an itinerary over there that I don't know off the top of my head, but drinks are plenty. Going to watch the A-League game. I believe it's Sydney versus Perth Glory for the A-League prior, and then we toddle off to the Liverpool game at the very civil hour of 9 or 9.30, I believe. So that'll be great, as opposed to 12 or 1 a.m. that we normally have. So, yeah, just wanted to interject with that quickly, yeah, Rob, before we wrap it up.
No, thank you very much, because I had meant to do it, but, yes, in my jealous rage, I completely forgot about it. So, as Mark said, if anyone is on the fence, got off the fence, definitely go meet up with them, fellow Eagles over here that are doing it tough at the early hours watching Roy Hodgson ball. But get yourself to WA. Good group going. Brisbane was good last year, and hopefully we bring it back east, or even go to I'm happy to go to Tasmania with Jordo. Otherwise, we've got to come back east. We've got to do Sydney or something, and then I can get a leave pass because I'll be allowed to do that. So if you are thinking about it, please go. If you're in Bali, it's bloody close to Bali, so you might as well just come over anyway. If you're in Bali and listen to this, tell everyone else in Bali to listen to this, and then do that 5-star rating. Do we even need a 5-star rating? Because every other podcast asks for it, so I'm just asking for it because they all do. Well,
I think it's, yeah, just status quo, isn't it? Finish your pod, ask for a 5-star rating.
That's it. Cat so goes. I'm not sure if we need this, but
I don't even know where you rate our pod.
No, do I? That's why I don't know, but it's just, yeah, I think you're doing iTunes. I don't know if you've got iTunes, but if we have, rate us 5 stars. If we don't, you can't rate us 5 stars. Just draw 5 stars next to the Excited Eagles thing on a piece of paper and just put it to us and send it to us on Facebook. We'll take that as well. So look, my final thing to say is thank you very much to Mark and Ned for your time. It's almost time for me to go to bed because I'm an old man and get up in the morning. Great to speak to you guys, and we'll speak again very soon.
Cheers. Bye.